Genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Ah, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're live every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is smart radio with sharp questions aimed at intelligent guests. It's talk radio done right for the 21st century. If you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. And you'll want to keep that number handy because I have a giveaway today for two sandwiches or two salads that I'll be giving away just a little bit later in the show. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is making the world a better place. Each of my guests will explain how to make the world a better place. My first guest is a multi-talented Muslim humanitarian. His cross-cultural upbringing makes him uniquely positioned to bridge the gap between Islam and the West. He'll explain cross-cultural differences and why we believe that the onus is on the Muslim communities to root out possible terrorists within. My second guest is a professor at law at Vanderbilt University. She wants to awaken the American Christians to search for leaders who embrace moral Christian values and who can make moral policy decisions. We'll discuss her latest book, Be the People. My third guest is an acclaimed motivational speaker, success coach, and close-quarter combat instructor with 11 black belts. He'll share his 24 years of accomplishments and life lessons about developing peak performance from his book, The ABCs of Peak Performance. And if you want to join in the conversation or just ask a question, you can call us at 639-0008. Sean Ray is a unique and multifaceted personality, and he's a true nexus of both East and West. Sean is a natural-born global thinker, a speaker, a designer, a recording artist, and a humanitarian. He was selected as one of the top 10 speakers in the United States for the Conference on American Ingenuity by the U.S. Department of Commerce. Nicknamed Bambi at birth by his relatives and his tribe, his full name, which I will ask him to pronounce, was he was raised until the age of 18 in the foothills of the Himalayan mountains. Noteworthy is the fact that Sean inherited from both of his parents a remarkable lineage of Christian, Hindu, Sikh, Muslim, Jewish, Tibetan, and Chinese ancestry. So he's really a mixing pot. Sean was instilled with both a fierce desire to eradicate international differences from the time he was age six, when he witnessed a refugee camp and saw the horrors of homelessness, hunger, disease, and despair. With that goal in mind, he received a bachelor's degree in public administration with an emphasis in political science and economics. Later, he received his law degree in international law. He's a recording artist, as I said. We'll have a chance to listen to some of his recordings a little bit later. Joining us from Florida, welcome to the show, Sean. How are you today?
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Thank you for being our guest. So I find it very interesting. You are of the Muslim faith, and the first part of your life was spent in Pakistan, where you were raised as a Muslim. Yet, as I said in the intro, your parents exposed you to Christian, Hindu, Sikh, Jewish, Tibetan, and Chinese heritages. So how and why did your parents expose you to such different heritages?
Well, actually, in reality, those are my forefathers, meaning that's my bloodline. From my father's side, actually, my father, our tribe is from Abbottabad, Pakistan, where bin Laden was shot and killed on May 2nd. So I'm a Muslim from Abbottabad, Pakistan. I actually went to school in Abbottabad, Pakistan, kindergarten and first grade. We're actually a lost Israelite tribe that became Muslim. That's in our heritage. So that's from that. I also have Chinese in me because my great-grandmother was Chinese from my father's side. I have Hindu in me because my grandfather, my maternal grandfather, was Hindu. And his great-grandfather was Sikh. And my mother's mother was Christian. So So I have a whole bunch of, you know, these mixes. So this is my bloodline. It wasn't that I was exposed to this heritage. That is my heritage.
That is your heritage. Fair enough. All right. Fair enough, Sean. So it truly makes you a melting pot, as I said in the introduction. Now, you've lived in the United States for more than 30 years. You became an American citizen. So first of all, what motivated you to become an American citizen? Did you have to give up your Pakistani citizenship, or do you hold dual citizenship?
Well, you know, I'm a victim of circumstance, so to speak, because somehow certain countries have dual citizenship allowed in the United States, and Pakistan happens to be one of them. And but I believe that they allow that because there are a lot of people from different countries in this and that live in the United States that also have property or you know businesses overseas. And some of the rules in other countries are that if you're not a citizen, you can't have a business or you can't own property or things like that. So that's why the U.S. government allows that. But I consider myself an American citizen. I'm a very, very patriotic American citizen, and I'm very glad to be an American. I wouldn't want to be a citizen of any other country in the world but of America, and there's a reason behind that. And the reason is that America is one of the oldest democracies in the world. It's over 200 years old. And it is a beacon of light and hope for the whole world. And I've traveled the world many, many times, over 25 times. And I've seen everything, been everywhere. And being a citizen of America, which actually I find it to be a privilege to be a citizen of America, I wouldn't want to be a citizen of any other country in the world because what I believe, how America, I believe America to be great. So that is why I'm an American.
All right. Now, my guest is Sean Ray. He's an ambassador for a better world. He's also a singer, a very popular singer. Sean, so you are an American citizen now, but you are also Muslim. Have you yourself experienced any intolerance or any prejudice in the United States as a result of your upbringing, as a result of your religion?
You know, because I believe all the reasons as to why I'm an American citizen, I have melted into American society, just like everybody else, whether you were Jewish or German or, you know, English or Italian, you know what I mean, or Irish, or, you know, so I've been part of that. That's why my original name is Sean Shahryar Khan Rai Zagajadun, which I shortened to Sean Ray, just like many Jewish people did, many other people from Russia that have settled here, they have, you know, made their names easy to pronounce and been part of the American experience.
I see. Well, let's get to the heart of the matter. Why do you feel so strongly that all those who immigrate to the United States, as you did, need to really understand what citizenship means and assimilate, as you have done, into the American culture, the American society?
Well, I mean, in order to be look at ourselves in an honest way, if you go back to whether you're from Latin America or you're from the Middle East or Far East, wherever you may be from, you know, the bottom line is that if you were to go to the Middle East or Far East and you were, as an American, were to go there and settle down there, those people would expect you to assimilate. They would actually expect you also to change your name because it'd be better for you to do that or to wear their kind of clothes and, you know what I'm saying, too, and try to be very respectful and feel privileged to be there, instead of considering it your right to be there. So as far as I'm concerned, you know, the immigrants that come to this country, like they have for hundreds of years, they need to take a look at why they are here, not just because they want their own personal freedoms, but the fact is that, you know, that they love what this country stands for, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so therefore they also have to understand, I know we are a pluralistic society, you know, we have many groups, but the point is that if every group wants a part of America for themselves, then we're not going to have an America. You know what I'm saying, too? I mean, people should realize that, you know, we're supposed to be Americans first before we're Democrats or Republicans or Libertarians or whatever, whatnot else we may think ourselves to be.
Hear, hear.
And that is what I am really trying to talk about, is to let people know that I'm not running for office or anything like that. I just believe that as a citizen of the United States, and having the experience that I do, that I need to let people know that, you know, we need to be Americans first. That's why I don't like the hyphenation in name. You know, like it's like I'd be called a Pakistani American. Well, you know, or somebody's an Italian American, or somebody's a German American. It's like, how come people are so where they came from first, and then they're American second, you know, and you know, second place. So I believe I'm an American citizen. I'm an American global citizen, because I believe that, you know, America is the beacon of light and hope for the world. And basically, Americans should realize that whatever is happening with the Arab Spring and elsewhere in the world where people are wanting democracy, they're looking at us as in America to lead the way. And unfortunately, if you look at what's happening in our politics today, you know, between the parties and the executive, the legislative, and the judicial, you know, everything is in disarray. And people should realize that the whole world is watching and learning from us, and that we are all ambassadors for the world, and that America really is the capital of the world, so to speak, I consider it, because everybody from all of the human race is really in America. I mean, 99.99% of people are here. So that's why we are, that's why what I call American exceptionalism in that sense.
Yeah, my guest is, I'm sorry, Sean, I didn't mean to talk over you. My guest is Sean Ray, and he is truly an ambassador to the world. Sean, I want to get into some of the differences between Muslims, how they view Westerners, and how we as Americans are viewing Muslims right now, because there are some widespread assumptions in the West about how Muslims feel towards those of us that are brought up in a Judeo-Christian sort of tradition there. And you bridge both cultures, so help set the record straight. How do Muslims actually view us as Westerners, and Americans in particular?
You know, last year I went on a four-month intercontinental tour because I was part of the first, I sang on the first Christmas album from the Muslim world in respect of Christianity, which had utilized Jewish people, Muslim people, and Christian people, cheerleaded by Hindus and Buddhists and other faiths to make this album possible. And I went on a tour to the Muslim world that also happens to exist also in Europe, the Middle East, and Far East, and I even went to Israel. And the response from the Muslims in Europe and Israel and the Middle East and Far East, including Pakistan, was wonderful. I was on 18, 19 different television channels, many talk shows, about 30 different newspapers and things like that. People were very excited about the fact that I had sung on the first Christmas album from the Muslim world in respect of Christianity. And so everybody in the world, you know, is tired at that time last year, this is last year, 2009, is tired of strife and war. And as you can see from the Arab Spring, which started in January 26th in Egypt, that people in the Muslim world, we first used to think that all Muslim people did were wear turbans and ride camels. And now we see that, you know, in Egypt, and these young kids that are under 30, they're showing peace signs, and they're actually in shirts and pants. And, you know, that everybody wants freedom. And whatever we thought that Osama bin Laden thought, and that, you know, he was going to be against the West, and he wanted to kill the West, and the infidels, you don't see people burning American flags in Egypt or in Syria, you know, places like that at the moment, because of the fact that all they want is democracy for themselves. So they don't hate us, it's apparent with the Arab Spring. They hate their own government that have been tyrannical towards them.
All right, my guest is Sean Ray, and I'm glad, Sean, that you brought up the Christmas album. It was very unique for you as a Muslim to be able to do a Christmas album. I'd like to play a bit of some songs that you have on that, at least start up with one of the songs that you have on that album. So we'll go ahead and play that right now.
If I had my way this Christmas, and if the two others came true, my third wish would be for now and forever to share all my wishes with you.
A couple things I noticed about that. First of all, you got a boomer of a voice there, Sean, so congratulations and kudos to you for that. But talk to me about the experience of a Muslim bringing Christian ideals, bringing a Christmas album into the Arab world. How were you perceived by the other Muslim people that you were preaching to or talking to in these television stations?
You know, they were very, very excited. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't have been invited to these on these stations, especially in Pakistan. I spoke at the three press clubs in Islamabad, Lahore, and Karachi, and we had close to 150 reporters from all the major news and media over there in each one of these and more. They were interested because you know, they felt that it was a great thing to show the you know, that what I was doing was showing the soft side of many, many hundreds of millions of Muslims, because there happen to be 1.5 billion Muslims, that really are very, very moderate, and they don't have anything against anybody. They just want to live their lives and have the kids go to school and, you know, have meaningful lives. So, you know, that's exactly the extent of it. Everybody that I spoke to, you know, of course there are some Muslims that think that Christmas is evil. It's a pagan holiday, and so I had to be careful because you know, I had to watch out for my security, because most people they want to, you know, behead me or slit my throat for doing something like that. But, you know, we all have to do what we have to do. And, you know, so, yes, you know, that I didn't care about those things, but I did have to have security in some certain places.
And it shows your heroism in doing this. So I have to ask you, Sean, how do you view your role as a sort of a pan-cultural figure to bridge the gap between the Muslim world and the West? I mean, why is this Interfaith Harmony mission so important to you?
Well, you know, first of all, what's most important, because of my lineage, you know, for all this, the different, you know, this hereditary stuff that I have with Sikhs and Muslims and Jews and everybody else, I've grown up to understand that, you know, basically we're from Adam and Eve. We're all part of the human race. We're all the same race. You know? And so the point is that interfaith harmony is so important, because religion sometimes has been the cause of much war and strife and many, many deaths. And so bottom line is that if we were to look at religion as a positive force, and, you know, and instead of proselytizing to each other, to actually at least, be kind to each other and understand that, you know, people have different views, but agree to disagree, then we'll have a better world. Because think about it, with climate change and with all kinds of upheavals going on with the economy and things like that at this point in time, we all need to work together to alleviate these problems that face our world today.
I think that's a very moderate voice. My guest has been Sean Ray, an ambassador for a better world, a singer. Sean, if people are interested about what you have to say, they want to learn more about you, where would you direct them to go on the internet?
They would go to seanray.com. That would be SHAWNRAE.com.
SeanRay.com. Sean, thank you so much for being my special guest. I appreciate it. We'll be talking to you down the road.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.